Okay, we're up to page Mem. Page Mem, Hamisrabeid, Bikloin Chaveray, a person that honors himself in the shame of his friend. Okay, a person that delights, he elevates himself by stepping on someone else. Oymer believe, he says in his heart, Shein Chayte. I did nothing wrong. In other words, someone else makes a mistake, and you did not make that mistake. So when that person is put to shame, you come out looking good. I didn't do anything wrong. I did not embarrass him. I didn't do anything wrong. I did not openly put this fellow to shame. It just happens to work out to my benefit that when he is put to shame, I come out looking good. He conspires. Okay, he arranges his deeds opposite his chachma, meaning he coordinates. This is a very interesting expression he uses. Okay, where do you get such an expression from? Someone from 800 years ago. Such an interesting expression. You oirech means to arrange your deeds corresponding to your wisdom, and then when we reverse the order, the chachmosay mul masaf. This is an expression which means you're very clever. You know how to manipulate. You know how to work to manipulate. The situation where you come out looking good and your friend comes out looking bad. I did nothing wrong. You can't pinpoint anything wrong. I've done nothing of that shloi keder chatoira. Everything is perfect. It just so happened to work out that I come out looking good, he comes looking out bad. Kedei shir mechlola shu mechubur, I am an honorable person of the chaver bazui. Such a person is a low life. That's what it says here. It says here that this guy's sin, v'yesh, and we started this paragraph, v'yesh mehen devarim ro'im lima'oid. That's how we started on page Lamites. There are things that are extremely evil. Extreme evil is where you can't get caught. When a person is able to maneuver, manipulate, to make people suffer in a way that you cannot get caught, you come looking out good. Okay, next thing. Next terrible avera.
So, in English, what is this guy doing? Is Chabad Kovrei just he has a thought?
He maneuvers. He manipulates the situation such that he should come looking out good and his friend should come looking out good. You set someone up to fail.
So
you have a competitor.
No,
you do. You do nothing wrong. I don't have good examples, but there are probably books of good examples. What? You have a competitor in business. Okay, you have a competitor, and you know that the product that your friend has is let's say what product is inferior. There's a flaw. There's a particular flaw in your competitor's product. So what do? You invite someone to review your product, and you hone in on. The mile that your product has that you know.
That's a salesman.
But
that's business.
Okay, so let's discuss where it's not business. You're not making money. Okay, you're not making money. You want to go and elevate, let's say, there's no money to be made here. It's not business. If it's business, then maybe in a chinami, you're right. You have a product to sell. A product, the marketplace, in a chinami.
You don't tell the other guys.
Let's talk about. Okay, you have children, two students. Okay, you have your son and you have your friend's son, and you want to. I can't think of examples. There are books. They're probably.
I think it's weird if you're walking with your friend and he falls flat on his face.
Yeah,
very funny to you. You know,
that's too simplistic. It's too simplistic. There are much more sophisticated things. Okay, it'll come to me eventually. Okay, it'll come to me eventually. I'll try to put aside a good examples. There are books and books. You have to read all these books of inspiration. You know, all these inspirational books. Yeah.
If you see, you come to a shear, and you see one of the guy's zippers wide open, you don't tell us.
No, that's not a good example. How are you getting covered? We're talking about where you're setting up your friend. By him falling, you look good. You look good. Okay, I'll give you, let me think of an example. You have two students. Okay, you have your son, and you have your friend's son. And there's a perspective, they're both trying to pursue a shidduch, a very chashuv girl from a very chashuv family. And you want your son, you really want this zivug, you want this for your child, and there's your friend who also wants it for the child. You happen to know that your son's friend doesn't know a certain sugya, a shtikl Torah, and your son does know the shtikl Torah, and this person over here is in shul, and now you raise a question, and you happen to know that this guy's child doesn't know the answer, and your child does know the answer. So you talk in learning, and you say, I have a question to ask. You know the answer? And you say to that person, that child, no, I don't know the answer. Do you know the answer? Of course. This is the answer, and he gives the answer. By doing so, what have you done? Nothing wrong. He's talking, he doesn't know the answer. He knows the answer. Your son looks good, and this one doesn't look good. The contrast between the two. I did nothing wrong. It's not such a good example. Everyone doesn't need you. You can figure it out on your own. Period. Let's go further.
Oh, I just want one last question. My point is, do you have to do a maisa or just a neshava on this?
Maisa. You have to do a maisa. In order for it to be, you have to do a maisa, which you manipulate things, the situation where.
Or it could be that you're not doing a maisa that should be doing.
Oh, very good. All right. You can save someone. You can save someone for the bizyonis you choose not to, and that way you come in looking good. Excellent. Exactly. The achoy shayd v'ksheirim. Okay, someone that suspects. A person that is choy shayd v'ksheirim. It appears to him she'enoy. It appears to him, the person thinks that he did nothing wrong, but you think he did something wrong. Okay, so the person, there's a situation, and it can be two different ways. And the person himself thinks he did nothing wrong, but you suspect the worst possible ulterior motives. That is forbidden.
But suspicion? He didn't do anything, just suspecting.
Something happens. I remember one story, a photographer came in the middle of the wedding, okay? A photographer shows up, there's a wedding going on, there's no photographer. And the photographer comes in the middle of the wedding. And he starts taking pictures. Everyone right away is cursing out the photographer. What an idiot. They hired him, they hired the photographer, and here he comes in the middle of the wedding, he starts taking pictures. You've caused such grief to this person. What's the true story? The true story is they hired someone else and they made a mistake, or they made a mistake and they told them the wrong date, or the other photographer made a mistake and thought it was the wrong date, and that photographer, they called, where are you, and he's nowhere to be found. So they call up, another photographer, and out of the goodness of his heart, the other photographer drops everything that he's doing and he grabs the equipment and comes running to the chasna to salvage, to take pictures, whatever he can still take from the wedding. Who's the tzaddik here? The photographer. The photographer was busy with living his life, and he gets an emergency phone call to come to the wedding and take pictures because the real photographer didn't show up. And everyone looks at the photographer, shows the middle of the wedding, takes out his equipment, and they say, oh, what a horrible...
We're never
going to hire you. And they write up in the newspaper. Now, one thing, they can say whatever they want to say. Obviously, the photographer knows... Obviously, the photographer knows by coming in the middle of the wedding, he knows what he's getting into. Okay, you can't say, you can't be a shaita. The photographer says, I'm going to come now in the middle of the wedding, everyone's going to think that I was hired and I didn't show up, I'll never get another job. This photographer says, you know what? I have enough business, I have a good enough reputation, people want to know the truth, they'll come, they'll find out, I'm not worried, I don't care, I'm going to do a chesed. I want to do a chesed. I'm willing to take upon myself the grief of losing a couple of jobs. I'm willing to do it, to do a chesed, to save, to salvage, whatever, this is wrong. Okay, he comes to the wedding, he does it, people are murmuring, they ask him, a guy, a shaita, doesn't ask the question, he doesn't ask any question, and he goes on his blog, big audience. He has 3,000 people who come to his Facebook page and his blog, and he writes up, I just went to a wedding, and so-and-so was the photographer, and he comes in the middle on social media, and then this one says, forward, 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 forward. You know, the whole world knows the mice, and everyone accused this guy of being a shemazel. That's not what the photographer signed up for. The photographer had a right to know, I'm coming to the wedding, there's going to be at the wedding 200 people, they're all going to see what happened. No, there's going to be some murmuring. Did I expect someone would have the chutzpah to write in public, to write on social media where the information will reach thousands of people what happened without clarifying the details?
You have to assume
that I didn't expect to happen.
That's an interesting dilemma because if this really happened,
it does happen.
At first glance,
yes,
you would say, they should make
announcement.
Announcement, right. And say, so and so, and wow, what a great guy, he's stepping in. But then everyone's going to ask, who was the original
photographer? Oh, you're right. You're right. So the best thing is,
maybe he had
a good emergency, that's right. So what's the best thing to do?
I don't know.
Say nothing.
So say both sides.
So let's I'm just giving you a theoretical case.
The whole danger of
Lashon
Hara.
Right.
Yeah. So you can be, so here you have a situation. So let's say they thought this all through. I'm just making a theoretical case. And they decided, you know, the best thing is shtoik. The best thing is they came to an agreement, the family and the photographer. The best thing is say nothing. We're not going to make an announcement because exactly why. If you go and make an announcement, and if anyone wants to find out, let them find out. Now, I don't think you have to assume a firm person to have the chutzpah to go and a person should have enough sechel to realize, you know, maybe there's another side to the story. Maybe. So I saw what happened. There are two sides to the story. So
there's more than two sides.
Oh, fine, more than two sides, fine. More than two sides. So a person to go and be choyshe the worst, there's always another side, and to take action. And I'm doing the tzibur at toiva. This photographer is a danger to the tzibur. He'll ruin your wedding. So therefore, I want everyone on my blog to know what happened. Excuse me? You don't want to do that. There's always another side to the story. Do your homework before you take action. Okay, so that's a very extreme case of in choyshed b'ksherim. That was illegal. Illegal. There's something wrong happened. Do your homework. Do your homework before you go.
But even if it was true, should he spread that information? That's another thing.
Well, you know, that's a very good question. To spread it to such a degree, but if someone asks you a recommendation, you can say, well, I don't know how responsible this guy is because look what happened.
But he didn't do the research.
No, but let's...
If someone asked him for recommendations...
So then you should find out what happened. This is what happened. You should go find out the real story.
Right.
Obviously, it looks bad. And when a person goes into this situation, he's obviously allowing himself to into this world where people are going to question what happened. But it doesn't give the people in the audience the right to come to the conclusion that he's a Russia. There's always, always, the more you live, the more you learn. Every single thing that you hear, there is always another side to the story. Someone comes running and crying and screaming that a horrible, horrible crime has happened and there's only one side to the story. Take a deep breath. You can bet there's another side to the story.
There's three sides and the truth.
Three sides, not two sides. Three sides and the truth. There's always more than meets the eye.
My feeling is no such thing as the truth. It's always a spin or interpretation.
True, it's true. Life is complicated. Let's go further. Rabbi, let's go back. It appears to him, she'enei choyte. Now, I don't really know how to translate these words. It's very hard to translate. It's a sin to be choyshed b'ksherim, doyme eloi. It appears to him, and I'm assuming it means that the person who did this action, which brought upon himself suspicion, he thinks, she'ein ha'choyte. But you, the observer, you suspect the worst. This is a terrible sin. From whom do we learn this? From Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu made the fatal mistake of being choyshed klal Yisrael, that they are non-believers. And that's why it happened that Moshe became a non-believer. Hashem told Moshe, speak to the rock. Don't hit the rock. How did it happen that Moshe did not have full faith in Hashem that through speaking to the rock it would produce water? It was a punishment. It was a punishment that he suspected the worst. He did not have faith in Klal Yisrael. V'hoyloi l'lmoid, he should have learned me Moshe Rabbeinu Shesibu Lashon Hara v'choshad v'kshem shenemar v'hein lo yaminu li. When he went to Klal, Hashem told him, you're going to be the Mashiach. And Hashem said to Moshe, to Hashem, but it's not going to work. When I go and I tell Klal Yisrael that I'm going to save them, they're not going to leave me miyod right away. Look up at Tzoras. He was smitten with Tzoras. I told you another Chazal that was what led Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem did not help him to overcome the nesoyin of speaking to the rock and instead hit the rock. Okay, a person always needs siyata deshmaya in everything that he does. You make a decision. You make a little teeny mistake, your whole life can change. Teeny little mistake. Mm-hmm. You need siyata deshmaya. And where do you get that siyata deshmaya? You need schusim. You need schusim. And if a person does not have those schusim, a little teeny mistake can be fatal. Moshe Rabbeinu, a fatal mistake. He did not have faith in Hashem. He hit the rock. And because of that, he was denied entry into Eretz Yisrael. And because of that, look where we are today. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have taken us into Eretz Yisrael and would have been Madruch us those first early years, it would have clearly been a different world today. Mashiach could have come. Let's go for the V'yesh Mehem HaChamish. Now we go to the next part, the last of the 24. Addiction. All of the things that we learned until now are not addictive. Some of them are bad, some of them are very bad, some of them are extremely bad. But none of them have the degree where it's addictive. The last five things of the 24 in the list are addictive. Number one are, what are they? If you do them, you moshech achareihem b'kosh lefash mehem lechulei v'tzorach adam lehizor mehem ulehashachim l'shlo yidbak b'chem v'in rois ad me'oid. Addiction. V'eluchein loshen hara u'echilus u'balcheima u'bal machshav ara. So where do you get such a statement if not learning chasef echasidim? You learn to say the Chavetz Chaim. Does the Chavetz Chaim talk about the fact that loshen hara is addictive? I'm not sure. Maybe he does. I don't know. I don't know Chavetz Chaim. I don't know. Avera goreres avera becomes a mitzvah. Becoming a mitzvah does not make it. Does not necessarily mean that you're addicted. Not necessarily. Avera, you like doing mitzvahs. You like to put on tefillin. Are people addicted to putting on tefillin? Come Shabbos, do you have withdrawal symptoms? That today is Shabbos, I can't wear my tefillin. Do you have withdrawal? Do you need help? You have to go to Alcoholic Anonymous. What is it called again? What is it called? Alcoholic Anonymous. When you don't on Shabbos because Shabbos, I can't put on tefillin. It's a mitzvah. It's Shabbos. I'm addicted. I've never heard of a person going to a psychologist. He needs professional help because Shabbos, he enters into extreme depression, clinical depression, because on Shabbos he can't put on tefillin. I've never heard of this. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Right? Matzah.
There are people who have a yarmulke on their head that would drive them crazy. Wouldn't it? The same thing?
It would drive them crazy, but would they be clinically depressed? I'm not so sure. It would be uncomfortable. So, you never heard such a thing. Yet, so it's a mitzvah, it's haka mitzvah, and you yearn to do the mitzvah, and it bothers you to no end. That I'm not doing the mitzvah, but I wouldn't say you're addicted. Yet, when it comes to certain averos, there's real addiction. It's not a joke. There's real addiction in doing averos. People who suffer, we're talking about, yes, shmir senayim, it's no joke. There are people that are sitting in my psychologists and psychiatrists real serious problems of addiction to doing averos. And he says, what are these averos that you're addicted to? So he says something that is shocking, lashon hara. I don't know if the Chavetz Chaim says. You have to see what it says in the Sefer of Chavetz Chaim. A person speaks lashon hara, you thrive on it. You thrive on it, and you cannot live a day without saying something nasty about someone else. It's an incredible thing. Rechilus. Rechilus is even worse. Rechilus is not just speaking bad about someone else. I go over to you and I say, do you know what that guy said about you behind your back? So now you hate him. Okay, you hate him. That is called Rechilus. You thrive.
It doesn't matter if it's true or not.
No, it has to be true. It has to be true. And that you get a thrill. You get a high. It's like cocaine. You get a high. Next, Baal Chema, getting angry.
The Torah doesn't say
Lashon Hara. Okay. Chema, Rachil, Rachil is a collective term which includes all forms of Lashon Hara. Rechilus Motzi Shema, Rachil is a peddler. A peddler doesn't just sell one item. A peddler sells a lot of things. He sells fake merchandise, real merchandise, high quality merchandise, discount merchandise, refurbished merchandise by the manufacturer and refurbished by the seller. You ever go on eBay? All the different types of merchandise you can buy, new, used, in good condition, bad condition, refurbished. I never knew this. Two types of refurbished equipment, refurbished by the manufacturer and refurbished by the seller. To the same meaning, refurbished. A peddler is a rochel. He sells it all. eBay is the ultimate rochel. Rachel of this generation. I sell it all. You name it. Amazon doesn't come to eBay as far as the scope of the different types of refurbished and secondhand goods, and a koyach to go have an auction. But what is a balash a rachel? I give over all different types of information. I give over high quality Lashon Hara. I give over Lashon Hara that I picked up on a comment on a blog, which is probably not true. I have outright lies. If you want outright lies, I got that also for you. If you want half truths, a Rachel got it all. I told you.
The secret of the Yaakov.
Let's go weiter. No. Later. I already elaborated on your point. Let's go weiter. Urechilus Balchema, another act of addiction, another midah, anger. People get angry, you get a thrill. You think it's just out of control. It's a thrill to get angry. You live on it, and it's an addiction to get angry. That's what he says. He was the ultimate psychologist, the Baal Sefer Hasidim. Bal Machshav Ra, evil thoughts, whether it's about Noshim, whether it's about who knows what. You need it. You can't live without it. Another thing is you have to go and be partners in crime. You have to be you live on these things. The bnei shalom and masav, the nirushamim beliba, it's etched into your heart. The roya kisilim, it says in the pasuk in Mishnah, a person that is a roya, a shepherd, kisilim with a fool, ye roya, will become evil. This means that a person that attaches himself, a pastor means that you're a shepherd, it means you hang out. You hang out the whole day with the animals. That's what a shepherd does the whole day. He hangs out in the field with the animals. So you can be a shepherd with foolish people. You hang out the whole day with foolish, wicked people. You become like them. You become evil just like them. It's an addiction. He's saying of this fascinating insight, the maskana, we've concluded the halacha yites, and what is unique about the Sefer HaChassidim is he says, to summarize, there are 24 bad midos, qualities, characteristics, which prevent a person from doing teshuva. Prevent the person, even if he does teshuva, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepting his teshuva. And he breaks down, he gives a long, long list of these 24 things, and he breaks them down into, I believe, four categories. The first one, he says, Dvarim Shem Avoin Godol, the very great sins. And then he says, things which are so terrible, you can never do teshuva gemura. In your lifetime, you will never succeed in doing a teshuva gemura. The third category is, they're so evil, dvarim roim lima'oid, and ein cheskosam l'shuv l'fi shehein dvarim, and the person will never even think of doing teshuva. Forget about doing a teshuva gemura. You won't do teshuva, period. And then it says there are things that are so evil that, forget it, they're beyond the pale. They're beyond the pale, you're addicted, and you're all caught up in it. 24 midos that prevent you from doing teshuva, and these 24 midos are broken down into four categories. Lama nikroim Talmidei Chachamim Seifrim. Why are Talmidei Chachamim called scribes? Seifrim means counters, because they like to categorize, put everything in the Torah into categories, into numbers. And here indeed, the Sefer HaChassidim has taken the 24 matters, given us an all-inclusive list of all of the Be'er Midos, divided them into four categories of terrible averos, for which you need to do tshuva, averos that are so terrible, even when you do teshuva, you'll never do a complete teshuva, averos that you'll never do teshuva, period. And then averos, you don't even know you're doing an avera. You're addicted. You're addicted. It's not even in your frame of mind to realize that you're doing averos because you've reached a state of addiction. Next, halacha chaf. Kol mitzvah shem b'shem Torah kein bein asay bein lois asay im yavo adam alecha mehem bein b'shoyig bein b'mei b'zodan k'she yaseh teshuva yoshu b'chatoav chayv l'svadas, you must confess l'fi who are l'fnei olokim yal l'shma before the ribayin shalolam shenemar ish or isha asher or kiyasu mikol any avera v'hisvadu eschatosam, you must confess v'zavidu dvarim b'bo mitzvah asay. He's teaching us over here, there's a mitzvah asay min ha-Torah, when a person does avera, to speak, to say the words, Ribbono shel Olam, I have done the following avera. I have insulted my friend. I said to him, I said something nasty to him, I have caused him pain. It's not enough to go to your friend and say, "I forgive me, I've insulted you." You have to confess with your mouth, l'fnei the Ribbono shel Olam, to say the actual sin. On the Yomim Noroyim, we say vidui. That's not enough. The vidui that we say is just a generic vidui of all the possible sins. But if a person knows that he has committed a particular, a specific sin, even though generally every single sin is included in Oshamnu, Boganu, Gozalnu, Dibanudofi, Al-Khayt Shachatam Fanecha, Bo'inis of Rasan, even though we have all the various sins are listed, even nevertheless, if a person knows that he did a very specific sin, he has an obligation on Yom Kippurim or on the Aser Shemei Teshuva, and even on a regular day when he claps al chet, to say out before the Ribbono shel Olam exactly what he has done wrong and to confess. And this is a fulfillment of a mitzvah asay deoraisa lehisvadu es avo es chatosam. They will confess their sins. I have to go further now. I'm sorry. Let's go further. Ketzad mesade. How does one confess? Omer, he says, Ona Hashem chotosi avisi poshati lefonecha kach vekach osisi, and such I have done. Varei nichamti, I have regret. Uboishti, I am ashamed. B'masai ul'olam eini choizel l'davar zeh. And here is the key. This is a very big topic of conversation. The Sefer Chassidim, who came after the Rambam, says something that the Rambam does not say. The Rambam discusses exactly what you must say when you confess. The Rambam, I believe, does not say ul'olam eini choizer l'davar zeh. You have to make this statement. I will never do this thing again. Now, maybe I'm making a mistake. Maybe the Rambam does say it, but where it definitely does not say it is in the Nusach HaTfilah. This is a big, big topic of conversation, a big topic of alumnus. How could it be that in our Nusach HaTfilah that we recite on the Yom Noroim and during the Meislichas and anytime that we do the Shuvah, nowhere, anywhere in the Nusach HaTfilah does it say these words, Hashem, I've sinned A, B, and C, and D, and ul'olam, I promise you, Hashem, I will never do this avera again. Don't say shvur. Don't make a shvur. But according to halacha, could be the Rambam says it also, the Yushalmi certainly says it, if you do not say these words, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of teshuvah. There's a mitzvah de'oraisa to do teshuvah. Part of doing teshuva is to confess, Hashem, I've done this, I've eaten non-kosher. There was food that did not have a hechsher, and I said, what could be? What could be? And I ate it. I ate the non-kosher food. Hashem, I confess, I've done that avera. You're not yoytze the mitzvah. That's not called teshuva. You have to say the words, and Hashem, I give you my word, ul'olam, forever, for the rest of my existence, I will never do this sin again.
That's your intention?
You have to say the words. You got to say those words. You have to mean it. You can't be a liar. You have to mean it. You have to say the mean it. If you don't say those words, you do not fulfill the obligation to do teshuva. And the Sefer Hasidim doesn't apologize. He says, you have to say, Ula oilam eini choizel davar zeh. And v'zeh ikoroi shel vidui. This is the ikor. The ikor is to say those words. And this is what it says in the Yerushalmi. And this is the halacha. This is the halacha. And it could be, after I don't remember all the details, the Rambam says this. So how come? Open up a siddur. Find me in this siddur where it says this. You're not going to find it. Halaydava? What's the answer? There's no good answer. There really is no good answer. Basically, the answer is because we will be liars. We will be liars.
Your intention may be good, but 2 days from now...
We will be liars. Right. The people who wrote the Siddur left that for you to say. They did not put it into the Nusach because the vast majority of people who will be reading what it says in the Siddur will be lying. Abba Venadio, he'd say the mitzvah of Teshuvah. Got a problem? Better not be Yoitze the mitzvah de Oirais of Teshuvah than be a liar. Oh, being a liar, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that it's a mitzvah say not to say the MS. Is there any of the Tayag mitzvahs? Is there any one of the Tayag according to all of the Moine HaMitzvahs, the Rambam, the Chinuch, the Sefer, Halachas Gedolos, Halachas Ketanos, the Bahag, does anyone list among the list of the Tayag mitzvahs that you have to speak the words of truth? That when you speak, you must speak MS. I don't believe it is listed as one of the Tayag mitzvahs by any one of those who count the mitzvahs. No one.
Like sometimes white lies are better.
Sometimes you're allowed to lie. Yeah. Okay, you're allowed to lie. Minei darkei shalom. But let's discuss a situation when you're not allowed to lie. When you speak and there's no need to lie. Is there a mitzvah saseh that you should say the truth? I don't believe so. Is there a mitzvah saseh d'araisa to do teshuva for an avera? Certainly is. And part of the mitzvah say, an integral portion of the mitzvah is to confess and to say the words, I will never do this avera again. So what's going on? So how come in the Siddur, the Anshei Knesses HaGedola refused to put those words into the Siddur?
It says something like that.
It doesn't say I will not. I'm asking you to help me. You help me. That's not what it says in the Gemara. Enochanami. By the way, this is the later. This part of the answers. I have a whole sefer on this. I remember that this year when we were learning, I wanted to discuss this topic, but we did discuss this topic. I remember we were spending a lot of time on this in preparation for the shiur to discuss exactly this topic, and it sticks in my mind that we never got to it. We never got to talk about this topic. What are all the answers? One of the answers given is this exactly, that this is the Elokai. Not everyone gets to say this. Hashem Elokai, Elokai Abbasai, Sheloi Echeteot.
Help me that I should.
And this is a fulfillment of this condition that it says in the Yerushalmi. However, I remember, vaguely, that many challenge that it's not a fulfillment because all of this is a request. Hashem, you do it. You help me. You help me that I don't sin. You help me. But I'm not giving you my word.
When Yom HaKabbal HaTainus, in the Shemayin Esra and Shema Kaleinu, it says, Shaloi Echetosi, Shaloi Echetoid,
these words, Shaloi Echetoid is a prayer. Hashem, I pray to you.
Kiryat Shema?
Let me read you the words. Let's read the words. Elokai, Elokai, Ad Shlo Netzarti Nechadav, Yach Shlo Netzarti, before I was created, it wasn't Kedai to be created. Yach Shlo Netzarti, Kilo Lo Netzarti, Ofer Nebechayi, Kal Chavim Misasi, Harin Lefnech Yichlimo, Libush Uchlimo, Yihi Rotzoy Nemil Lefonecha, may it be your will, not my will, your will, okay? May it be your will, Hashem, Hashem Elokai Ve'elokai Avosai, Sheloi Echeteot, that I should not sin again. Excuse me?
God's
your will? Your will? You should say, it's my will. This is not a fulfillment. This is a this is a very weak, weak.
It waters this down.
Very weak. It says in the Yerushalmi, you have to say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, "Ula Olam Eini, I will not Eini Chozer LeDavar Zeh VeZeh Ikoroi Shel Teshuva." Come on, this is a pathetic excuse.
Is not neder. Is not neder.
A neder.
Yeah.
So let it be a neder. If that's the condition, so make a neder.
Maybe he cannot tomorrow to the Mayulan Machar. He doesn't know what is happening next days. How we can say
when a person gets married?
He's lying.
When a person gets married, when a person gets married, he signs a document, a ksuba, and it says in the document, Va'ano Ezoin, the Eflach, the Oiker, or the Farnes, Yisichi Lechi. I will support. You sign a document that says, I will support you. I will honor you. I will provide you with clothing. I will do everything for you. You know what tomorrow is going to be? Do you know that tomorrow you're going to have a parnasa? Do you know tomorrow you're going to be able to give cover to your wife? Wait, do you know? You don't know nothing. The answer is, you do. You makabel upon yourself.
Therefore, he's going to write according to this.
If it's you get married and you can commit yourself to do all of these things for your wife, it doesn't say
there and he breaking the neder.
It does not say in the ksuba. May it be your will, Hashem, that my wife be supported and have honor and have clothing and have jewelry and have a good, wonderful life. It should be your will, Hashem, not my will. If you write that in the ksuba, no one's going to want a woman's not going to want to get married. Hashem's going to do this to me. I'm not so religious. I want to marry a person who commits himself that he will do this for me. So why, when it comes to the nusach of teshuvah, is it different? Ribbono shel Olam, it should be your will that I don't do averos. Me? Who knows what tomorrow is going to bring?
Yes.
Shvach! No, I have to finish up. Okay, so therefore, you're disturbing that.
What's finishing? It should be with result. With result, everything. We ambue.
Okay, I heard your point. Okay, so therefore, what is the answer, Rabbi Yisrael? What is the answer? Here's the answer. The answer is because it's a big lie. It's a big lie.
Yeah.
Lies. For the Hamoin Am to say to commit themselves, that I will not have to put this in the Siddur. For the Hamoinam to say is a big lie, because 90% of the population will do the Aver again. They'll do it again better and improved. New and improved. They'll do the Aver again. So therefore, for the Hamoinam, the Anshei Knesses Hagadol could not put this into the Siddur. But a Yochid, an individual who is learned, who comes to the morning koilel and knows what the Halacha is, has a duty on his own, if he really wants to do the mitzvah bishlemus, to commit himself with sincerity, just like you commit yourself when you get married to do all of these outrageous things.
The real commitment is a neder.
What? Not necessarily. No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Anyway, you made a shavuot at Har Sinai, you mushba v'oyim me Har Sinai not to do averos. Anyway, you made a shavuot already. Nothing new. An individual. But for the tzibur to say such a thing would be sheker. And even though it's a mitzvah saseh, to lie is kineged kol hatarakula. A person speaks sheker, he's violating in one shot 613 mitzvahs. To not be mekayim the mitzvah of teshuvah, you're violating one mitzvah. There are taryag mitzvahs. Not to do tshuva, you're in violation of 1 out of 613. Not bad. 615 is pretty good. Pretty good. Not to do tshuva. I did other things. But to speak lies, you violated all 613 mitzvahs. Because the chut, the essence of Torah is emes. Torah asher nosan lanu Torah emes. Torah is MS. So to write things in the Siddur commitments that people cannot commit is kineged kol haTorah kula. You don't want to do teshuva, so don't do teshuva, but don't speak lies. That's the real, only satisfying answer to the question. And the nafkamina is, you have to be aware that not everything that you need to daven is in the siddur. If a person is committed to mekayim the mitzvah, the way it was meant to be fulfilled, you got to say the line here of, you have to say, ula oylam eini choyze l'davar zeh, v'zeh ikara shel vidui, and this is one of the hottest topics in the sugya of vidui, when you learn about the inyone Yom HaKippurim, when we spend the whole day, we say vidui. How many times do we say vidui in Yom HaKippurim? 10 times. Count. All the four of the tefillos, the chazaras hashatz, the ilah, the whole thing, from the time you start, mincha Yom HaKippurim, you recite vidui 10 times, and every time you recite vidui, what it says in the siddur is not a key, is you're missing one essential ingredient, and that is to say, I, now you Hashem, I will never sin again. And if you know the halacha, and you're really committed to the halacha, then you have to say it. And if you can't bring yourself to say it, who are you fooling? Then the day of Yom HaKippurim is just another day at the beach. Just another day of the life of make-believe. I'm not criticizing anyone because I'm part of the group. I'm no different than anyone else. What?
The fact that we have Yom Kippur every single year.
Yeah.
Isn't that a riot that we understand that nobody's going to, that you're going to do in a bear again?
No, not necessarily. How many people do you know are Mekayim in their lifetime what it says in the Ksuba? The way it was meant to be fulfilled. I will give Parnasa, there'll be a lot of words. Food, clothing, honor, and support, and all these very fancy lashonis. How many people can say in their marriage, I have fulfilled the flavor of what it's, and you commit yourself to it? For real. You commit yourself to it. So what is the answer? The answer is, when you got married, you're dead serious. When you got married, you were really serious. What happened later on, happened later on. But at the time when you got married, you were very, very serious. When you come to Yom Kippurim, when it comes to doing tshuva, no one is as serious to Hashem as they're serious to their kala when they're under the chuppah. That's the facts. Because if they were serious, they would do it. They would say it. And then if it doesn't work out, so you do it again. You say you work, you people, and sheva pamim yipol tzadik v'kam. But you got to be committed at least once. Unfortunately, the Anshei Knes HaGadol were yearless of Emka Sheldav, and they realized that people are just not committed. That's the human, that is the weakness of a human being, and you have a whole life to think about this and to do tshuva. Maybe you'll be zoicha at some point in your life to really get with the program and be committed. Hashem gave man 120 years to do his best, to reach as high as he possibly can go. Hashem doesn't have crazy expectations from us, but he gives us quite a bit of opportunity, and if we take advantage, maybe something will sink into our thick heads and we'll become better people. Right? Nothing more than that. Let's finish the paragraph because I have to talk about something else. I have to finish. We're out of time. You're not being fair now. You realize now. You've spoken off. It's not right. We try to answer your questions. You're not being fair. Adkan.
Two words.
You're not being fair. Let's go further. This paragraph. There's no discrimination here. You're not being fair to the tzibur. Don't say that. It's not nice to the tzibur here. There's no discrimination here. Everyone here loves you. Everyone here loves you. Everyone is fair to you. You have to have a little derech eretz for the tzibur. Let's go vayita. When a person brings a korban for a particular avera, he was mechalal Shabbos by accident. He must confess exactly what he did upon the carbon when he brings the carbon. Ein mischavu lechem ad sheyasu teshuva v'yisvadu v'yidu v'dvarim. Shnemar, v'yisvadu asher chatul alecha v'chaim kol michuive nisois bezin michuive malkois. When a person is executed by bezin, he must confess his sin. Before they do the dalit misois, he must confess.
What if he doesn't confess?
Then he doesn't get the kapara. Misas bezin is a very big schus. For a person to be zoicha, for a person to merit to die by bezin, it's pretty good. Because the Torah guarantees if a person is killed by bezin, misas bezin gets kapara. A person dies naturally, there's no guarantee he gets kapara. But even if bezin is going to kill him, and he's going to get kapara, he must confess his sin before he's put to death.
Kapara for that sin only.
What?
Kapara for that sin only. Because sin, he gets kapara for the sin that he committed.
Exactly, for that particular sin, correct. Ein mischaber lechem b'misos b'l'kuyosot ad sheyasu teshuva v'yisadu. They must confess. V'chein achor b'chaver oi mazik l'chaver al pi sheshil moi ma shechoy loi chayif. Ein mischaber li ad sheyisvade. He says here such powerful things. The person is in court, is guilty. And they tell this person, you have injured. So there's a whole court case. He said, I did nothing wrong. And they go to Desdin, and I'm innocent, and he says, you're guilty, and there's a Din Torah, and the court concludes, you're guilty. You're guilty. You owe this person $1,000. It's not enough to give the person $1,000. You are required, the Desdin says you're guilty, you are obligated to say you're sorry to the victim. Okay, in secular court, how many times does that happen? Not too often. Not too often. There's a court case over money. Okay? Fender bender over money. And the court says you're guilty. So you say, oh, this court, they're a bunch of rishon, it's all fixed, they're corrupt, b'chulu, b'chulu. I have no idea. Take the money. Take the money. I'll never, never, ever, ever say to you, I'm sorry. I did nothing wrong. Take the money. They forced me. In halacha, that is osur. If Bezdin Paskins, you're guilty, you give the money with derech eretz. I'm guilty. I'm sorry. I thought I was innocent, but the Beis Din has decided otherwise. I bend my das to the Beis Din. If Beis Din has concluded I am guilty, I apologize. Chotasi avisi poshati. Here is the money. I'm guilty.
And it's a, mercy
what?
You have people begging for mercy.
That's begging for mercy. But let's talk about people who are not. I plead innocent. Go to court and I plead innocent. You make a plea bargain deal, okay? No. No plea bargain deal. I'm going to show you up. I'm innocent. And then Bezin goes through the whole process. Bezin says, you're guilty. You're guilty. We have concluded you're guilty. So in halacha, what are you supposed to do? I pleaded innocent. I refuse to pay. But if the Talmidei Chachamim have decided that I'm guilty, I have to accept the psak. Indeed, I accept I am guilty. I have to bend my opinion to the opinion of the Talmidei Chachamim who are the Dayanim in this court. I accept that I'm guilty. And I humble myself to the victim and I apologize. I say, I'm sorry. Of course, I'm going to give restitution. Here is the money. But in addition, I ask Mechila. This is the Jewish way, not the Goyish way. This is the Jewish way. Okay, the Jewish way. And it also, you should, this is my feeling, you'll disagree with
what
me.
What happens if you really believe you're innocent?
What?
Then you're really lying.
If the court, that's exactly the point I'm trying to make. The Jewish way is, when you have Talmidei Chachamim, when you have, okay, we're so brainwashed, because we live in a society where you're judged by Asara Shikurim and Ashuk. Who judges you today? A jury of your peers. So what are you going? Where are you going to get at her? People who are so schwach, they're so foolish, they don't know how to get out of jury duty. Anyone who has enough brains in their head know how to get out of jury duty.
Did you have jury duty?
Yes, sure. I accept. It's okay. It's okay, I accept. Okay? Anyone who has a brain in their head can get out of jury duty. So who ends up being your judge? The people who are so weak, who are so schwach, they couldn't get out of jury duty. They're going to sit and judge? They're going to tell you if you're innocent or guilty? Well, that's the American society. A jury of your peers. It's shocking. It's shocking that we can have that.
Even though the Talmid Chacham would say you're guilty.
Yes.
Sometimes you really know that you're innocent.
Doesn't matter. That's exactly what Yad is all about. Yeah. Unfortunately, the reason why...
when you confess, you're lying.
The reason why you're saying this is because unfortunately today we lack Talmid Chacham of high caliber. That's why it's hard to accept. If we were zoicha to have Talmidei, if society allowed there to be people who would grow in Torah to become real Bali Musar and real Talmidei Chachamim, you wouldn't say that. You would have an appreciation. And it's hard to say, I agree with you. You would say, you know, these Dayanim, they're really better than me. They're above and beyond me. Today we look at Dayanim, they're just like me and you. No, so they spend some more time learning Daf Gemara. If I would spend that time, I would be just like them. I chose this path in life. But that's not what a real Talmud Chacham is. A real Talmud Chacham is a Bal Musar, is a person that works on themselves. And if we merited to have an abundance of Talmidei Chacham of high caliber, when you go to court and you walk in that court, I am innocent. There's nothing to talk about. And the Talmidei Chacham, they listen and deliberate. And they tell you at the end of the day, you know, you're guilty. You would say, you know what? If you tell me I'm guilty, I believe you. I believe you. I was mistaken. And that requires you not just to give money, it requires you to say you're sorry. Now let me tell you something very controversial. And that is, I personally believe, since this is the Derech HaTorah, when you see in society, in secular court, where you have a jury, and you have a judge, and these people, they don't know from nothing, and there's a celebrated case in court, and you come in as a firm person with pace and a beard, and you plead innocent, I'm not taking the plea bargain deal. I plead innocent. I'm innocent. And then they hand down the law, guilty on all accounts. Guilty on all accounts. Now, I'm guilty. I'm anyway going to jail. Right? Anyway, I'm guilty. What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do now? I'm innocent. Now, people who posit I'm guilty. I personally believe that is the proper thing to borrow from what the halacha is. And you make a Kiddush Hashem, and you say, listen, if the court has decided I'm guilty, if the court has decided I'm guilty, I live in this country, and these are the laws of the land, and the court has decided I'm guilty, it is my duty to now say, I accept the decision. It's not going to make a difference for me anyway, right? Because anyway, I'm going, anywhere you're going. And Ad Rabbah, if you'll have a little confession, maybe the judge will make your sentence a little bit easier. Yeah. So you'll say, you should borrow from Torah law. Torah law demands you confess. After the court says you're guilty, the Torah demands that you confess that I'm guilty. By Misas Bezdin, by Malkois, and by Mamon. By Mamon. They demand. So in secular, there's no such demand. If the court says you're guilty, you're guilty. You can go kick your way. Don't you see on television now? These people, they're guilty. They have to go and have the officers come drag them away in chains because they're fighting and cursing and screaming. Yeah.
The lower court says you're guilty. You can go to a higher court.
Make an appeal. Fine. We're not up to the appeal here. Let's talk about that. That's another thing. But when it comes to a point where you're not going to go for an appeal, so I personally believe is that it is the duty of a Jew. Tell you something very controversial. It is the duty of a Jew who is a religious Jew to borrow from Torah law. I have to make a Kiddush Hashem and say, if this is the law of the land, and I've spent millions of dollars in lawyers, and I've made all the appeals possible, and I've gone to the highest, highest level, and it's over. It's over. The court has decided that I'm guilty. They're guilty. So a person should say, okay, I'm guilty.
You know that the witness is lying, and even though all the time...
There are exceptional cases. I'm not discussing. I'm talking about a normal case. And when you don't do this, it is a Chil Hashem. I feel it's a Chil Hashem. What? Yeah. What? So what happened? Yeah. Well, you sound guilty. So what? I don't know all the details, but I'm just saying general. I've seen this in one situation where the person was declared guilty, and he refuses to acknowledge any guilt whatsoever. Nothing across the entire system is a tremendous Chil Hashem, and he was found guilty. There's no admission of guilt. And this, the goyim, they write, they have tainus on him. They have tainus on him. You fought tooth and nail to the very, very end. At least acknowledge you did something wrong. At least acknowledge, if not in this parat, We got to a technicality in this prat. This whole thing only came about through a Gilgal, or Gansa Maisa, where there was definitely something that's not proper. You want to say it's legal, illegal, all the laws. Don't be an action and just snub the whole world. It's a Chil Hashem. Why do the Goyim view it, they're upset? It's because they know we have higher standards. And it's Mamish Halacha. This is the Halacha in the Bezdin Shel Yisrael. When a person is guilty, if the Bezdin says you're guilty, we're not talking about exceptional case where the judges are corrupt. Dr. Fuchler, you don't like this. Because you're thinking about a corrupt Bezdin.
What are you saying about the non-Jews? I mean, you know what they say. They say the Jews are throwing around their money again. It's always the same thing. LeBron.
We're talking about real crime. I'm talking about real crime, real abuse. I'm talking about child molestation, sexual abuse. I'm talking about real crime.
You're saying you had a question. Somebody says they're innocent, and the Bezdin says they're guilty. You should just accept that because the Bezdin says.
That's right. It's hard to swallow that.
Yeah.
Bezdin, who's Bezdin? Who's the Bezdin? Rav Moshe Feinstein, talk about who are the Gedolei Yisrael that you respect. Let me hear the names that you respect. Rav Moshe Feinstein.
Very small number.
Okay, that's the answer. That, I said this already. That's the answer to your question. Because unfortunately today, we don't have Gedolei Yisrael that we're close with, that we respect, that we're close with. And that is the sorrow of our generation. But let's go back to your youth. Who did you respect?
Well, that's way bad.
Okay, who else? Who did you respect as a Talmud Chacham? Shul Zalman Auerbach. Okay, so let's say they two sat on the Bezdin, and there was someone took you to a Din Torah, and they're demanding from you $1,000, and you say, I don't owe you one penny, and you go to Din Torah, and if Moshe Feinstein is there, try to picture this, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, they were very edel people, and they listen to their arguments, they listen to your arguments, and then they come in, they deliberate, what should the psak be? And they come in, and they take you aside, and they say to you together, we've analyzed all the details, we're sorry, there's nothing we can do, but the halacha is on his side. The halacha is on his side, this is the halacha. We've gone through Shulchan Aruch, I know it seems, it's in your eyes, it's very harsh, but this is Torah. This is what it says in the Torah. This is what it says in the halacha. We've spent our whole lives learning Torah. Unfortunately, this is the halacha. And you have to pay him $1,000. Are you going to walk out of there kicking and screaming? You are? Against Rav Moshe Feinstein and against Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach?
If I truly feel that I'm innocent?
But the halacha demands of you...
Right.
The halacha demands of you to accept. To accept... Okay, I see the Olim here has a very hard time swallowing this halacha. It's a very hard time. Rabbi Sai, that's the halacha. That's what it is. There's a lot of depth here. There's a lot of depth of what it means in Klal Yisrael, Manhigim, leaders, Emunas Chachamim, Moshe Rabbeinu. There is a lot of depth over here. What it says over here is that you have this obligation. You have to accept. In Mischaper Lo, there is no atonement. Again, he repeats himself. You have to say to your friend, I'll never do this to you again. The same Allah applies to the sins of man. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Take a very short break. We don't have much time. We're going to touch upon the Zonos roles again for a few moments.
And the